I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Featured Anime Podcast. I'm your host, Jack.
And I'm Rick.
And today we are talking about Trinity 7, which was a recommendation to us by CJ.
Yes, it was.
Our Discord? Was it by CJ?
I thought so.
Could have been. Possibility is there. Hang on. I have to redo the whole thing all over again. Hang on. Wait.
Oh, no. It was by Galloway.
By Galloway. Hang on. All right. See, look at that. He says, it'll be all right. He says, it won't be a problem. He says, okay.
I got to give credit where credit's due.
Exactly. All right. Ready?
Yes, sir.
Welcome to the Featured Anime Podcast. I'm your host, Jack.
And I'm Rick.
And today we are talking about Trinity 7, which was a recommendation by Galloway, one of our patrons.
Yes. Yes, he is.
Before that, though, we were talking about Willem Dafoe, our next possible patron exclusive, and the misunderstandings or the hopefulness that we have for other possible live actions coming into the scene. You want to catch a part of that wider conversation? Patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast. $1 a month will get you all that bonus content and more. Now, on to the meat and potatoes. Trinity 7 is 12 episodes long. It came out in October 2014, ran all the way through December 2014. Producers for it are TV Tokyo's Sotsu, Plume, Kadokawa, just to name a couple. Studio for it is Seven Arcs Pictures. It's based off of a manga, and the genres are action, comedy, fantasy, romance, supernatural, ecchi, harem, school, and shonen. Woo!
All my favorites.
Indeed. Especially the ecchi harem portion of it. I know those are your top two.
You know, if I'm being honest, verbally, I hate them. I hate them. On the surface, and everything about the premise, deplorable to me. However, in action, it's one of my favorites.
So, what you're saying is you secretly love it.
Don't Peterson me. Don't Peterson me.
Look. I understand what you're trying to say. I get it. I understand. You saw this and you said, yes, this is going to be a work of art. And then you went into it and you said, yes, this is a work of art. And then you proceeded on through down the line. And you said, this is so wonderful. I can't get enough of it that I have to sleep to it.
Yep. And I was like, I just got to watch the OVAs. The show just isn't enough.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, that wasn't me. That was you.
I left it playing because I thought it was the series continuing. I didn't
like the excuse.
It auto played. I was like, oh, I guess it's not done. And then I, about 30 minutes into it, I was like, this is an unusually long episode. What's going on? I mean, like, that was an unusual. It starts off pretty weird. It was like, oh, this is unusual. And it continues on pretty weird. Oh, this is not really unusual. And then I realized, oh, this was the OVA.
You had to do it twice because there was two of them.
Yeah. Well, after I already committed to the first one, I went ahead and committed to the second one. But at least I committed to it.
True. True. You are nothing if not a committal person. Committalist. That's not a word. It should be. No, you and I have a big problem about completion, either in games or in anime. If I see episode one, I want to see the last episode. If I see the beginning of a show, I want to see the end of a show. Same thing happened when I did Quantum Leap. I realized not an anime, but it was on sci-fi.
True.
Same thing with Pokemon. First season is the only one I really count because after that, they just went off the deep end. But I saw the very first episode and I saw him get 16th place in the tournament. And I'm like, all right, cool. We're done. I don't need Johto. I don't need all the others. I don't need the rest. So that's where I count on Pokemon because it's still going and it'll be going till I die.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, you're good. You're good. One of the things though about the show, it starts off pretty unusual. It starts off in a weird way. And immediately you're kind of like thrown into a situation where I feel like this will end up like a wet dream for him. Like this is just like every boy's wet dream coming to reality, coming to its truest form, kind of like in another world with my smartphone, right? It's his wet dream. He does whatever the hell he wants and no issues or problems. It's the same thing here. Our main protagonist, Arata, straight up is getting hit away with everything. They comment on it too. That's the funny thing. They comment on him being a really lucky pervert.
So I'm a Kanye you here. I'm gonna let you finish, but Konosuba was the only one who actually got away with everything he wanted to. Like this guy, everyone lets him. There's a difference between letting someone and getting away with it.
No, he had Konosuba had repercussions and he got screwed over a lot too. So he didn't get away with it. And they didn't let him get away with it. He got screwed over a lot, but it's because of the type of person that he is too. And he even points that out in the show. Right. So
equal rights getting lefts. I love that.
Okay.
But
this guy, he straight up just no matter what, it's just like kind of, he does get some, I'm not going to say 100% of the time he gets away with everything. He gets away with, I want to say 90% of everything.
He gets smacked a lot. He gets smacked a lot.
But by one person or by a couple of people mainly. Not by everyone. In fact, there's a couple that just basically want him, period, all the time, all day, every day. Oh, you're here. You're alive. Like, bro, like, there's no way in hell that they could be that thirsty and not have something wrong. All right? I'm just saying. They are thirsty. They were thirsty.
Yeah.
In fact, thirsty doesn't even cover it.
And the beautiful part about this particular anime is our main guy was not oblivious. He was actively taking advantage of a lot.
That's the one thing that was kind of a change from the normal, right? So you have other anime, like I'll bring up In Another World with Your Smartphone, comparatively. Basically, yeah. He was either oblivious to it or he didn't try and enact on it. This guy, Arata, straight up would enact on it. And then he would, like, if he was found in a very particular questionable situation, he wouldn't just like, oh, I'm sorry. He wouldn't pull away and apologize. He would continue touching or continue fondling or anything else and just be like,
he'll lean into it.
Yeah. With the exception of the beginning, when he meets Arin, and he runs away, not necessarily because of the reaction that she got. He was running away because he wasn't happy with the reaction that he got.
Yeah,
and it kind of scared him a little bit because he wasn't expecting that type of reaction.
Yeah, and I don't know. So the way that this whole thing played out to me. From start to finish, I agree. It felt like a daydream. It felt like he was going to wake up at the end. They're going to be like, just kidding. Yeah. They're going to do something to the effect of Wizard of Oz, where at the very end or close to it, like something happened where he hit his head and, you know, the main character was actually the nurse or his sister or, you know, something like that. And I respect the fact that it didn't go that route. Like it could have very easily gone that route, you know, with everything going on and with how the story progressed as slowly as it did. It was very linear. I will say that every episode had something important to the point of you had to watch every episode because if you didn't and you skipped, you'd be like, where did that come from? And I know this because I played in one sitting episode 1 to episode 5, and then I started up again on episode 7, and I was lost. I was like, what the heck happened? So I had to go back. Now, it could just be that episode 6, between episode 5 and 7, a lot happens, which I doubt.
Well, it was kind of like that for me, where when you first jump into it, how it's ending, like how one of the episodes ends, it makes you look, makes you think, oh, he's going to die or he gets killed. And then the beginning of the next episode, he's working in a restaurant to pay off his debt or to make up for destroying the school or something like that. Yeah. I went into that episode going, did I just miss something here? Did I just skip an episode and not realize it? Having to go back? And it's like, well, no, like literally this is how it ends. So, and I go to the next episode thinking that I just have to kind of piece together what happened, or maybe they revisit it, and they do, but it takes a few minutes for them to get there.
Yeah, you have the resolution already, which kind of takes the suspense out of it.
Yeah.
But again, it's not something I see anywhere else. This particular way to tell a story is unique to this genre, I think, to the story, not genre. But he breaks the rules of a lot of it. He grabs boobs. He sees a bunch of people naked. A bunch of people see him naked. He's not shy. He's not oblivious. He's very direct. Now, it is cookie cutterish in the choices, though. Like, so I was sitting here watching the very first episode with my girl, who actually likes this show, too. She's never seen it before. And I feel like I've seen it before. But I don't remember the details.
I remember seeing it. I don't remember the details of it, but I remember I've seen it. And I'll tell you why I remember I've seen it. Nothing to do with the story. Nothing to do with the plot. Nothing to do with, you know, really anything other than the fact that I could not get the image of how dumb their faces looked to me. Like, I did not like the way they were drawn at all. Like,
it bugged
the living daylights out of me.
Chick number three, her name started with an A, Arata, something like that.
Arata is our main protagonist. It's the guy.
No. It was a girl.
Well, the only A
her thing on her leg.
So Akio.
Akio.
Akio. Yes.
Yeah.
She was drawn super funky too.
She looked like a snake to me. I was like, it's Ochimaru.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. But it was like that for all of them for me, though. They all had super funky faces, or they all looked really weird to me. Like,
it was the eyes.
It was the eyes, like, the mouths, the face. The face just felt like really blocky to me. It did not feel like it was a 2014 anime. It felt older with the facial animation to me. I did not like it because of that. And that's one of the things that I had a hard time trying to get past.
I can see that. I mean, it didn't bother me nearly as much as I thought. Like, my initial response is, oh, snake. Or, you know, maybe they should have drawn that face differently. But after that, I was like, I'm here now. Screw it.
See, it stuck out like a sore thumb to me. And then it just compounded with every character that they introduced after that. Yeah. The only one that I feel wasn't that bad was Levy, the ninja. She was the only one that wasn't that bad, but that's mainly because most of her face was actually covered up. So
for majority of the thing, yeah.
So, I mean, take that for what you will. I personally think that, you know, they could have done better, but
honestly, they could have done a lot of things better, but because it was all rather, I'm not going to call it mediocre, because it's better than I can do. It's better than the average Joe Schmo. But for a paid product, I do find it to be lacking. Although it could just be the drawing style, the animation style, because the fight scenes were rather fluid. There was really no distortion. There wasn't any like elongated faces in combat.
Well, that's because they weren't all moving at ridiculous speed. But again, that's because most of her face was covered. There's no face to elongate to signify that to show her that she's moving at that crazy, ridiculous speed. They just make her disappear and reappear.
What about the chick who was like, I am the light god or something like that? No one's faster than me.
What about her?
Her face is weird, but she also didn't have a blurry face when she was moving at high speeds as well.
Yeah, but they also kept it maintained and didn't try to signify that she was moving so fast you couldn't focus on her.
Fair enough.
Again,
animation style.
It's a trick that they'd use for a lot of shows. So if you want to make it look like she's moving a lot faster than what she actually is, one of the tricks is to blur or elongate the face. It makes it look like they're moving so fast that not even the camera can keep up with it. they weren't going for that here. They were just going with, she's moving so fast.
Well, the thing that really annoyed me, they did that. They rather said it rather than showing it. But one of the things that bugged the crap out of me was every time they would pan on scenery, it would be blocky. Like, it would jump. It wouldn't be a smooth flowing right to left. It would be like right and then 2 inches to the left and then 2 inches to the left and then 2 inches to the left. And they did it so often, it did not feel fluid. And it annoyed me.
It never felt fluid. It was weird all the way through. And it
I
just
didn't feel that though.
It did not feel right to me. All right. The animation, the story, none of it felt great. And I go back to my very first comment at the beginning where I said, this was a child's wet dream. This is a boy's wet dream. Like, that's honestly all this is. The story is subpar. There is not much to say about the story. I mean, okay. So from what we know about the series, right, during the series, we know that there is deeper story to be found. And there are questions or information out there that can have you delve deeper into it. 100%, especially towards the end where you're given more information or told about a lot more, or the information that you are told is kind of like, well, are we going to see this kind of break out of the mold and choose your own path type story, which is how I feel like it's going towards and the motion in which it's going. But it's just sometimes when you're having scenes like that in here, there are points where the perversion or how he's being perverted or the sexualization of it as a whole just detracts or pulls you away from the story. Like, you have all this going on and then this really overly sexualized thing happens. And it's just like, okay, well, I feel like that could have been done without. Like, what was the point of that? Or they could have just done it in a different way to where it made more sense instead of like giving, you know, making them go, ooh, you know, type of thing.
I get where you're coming from, but I kind of feel like this was the quality that a hentai would be. You know, without actually being that,
no. Like
it's a step shy because there's a lot. We got the unrated version, there's a lot of nudity, there's a lot of sexual harassment, there's a lot of innuendo, there's a lot of
that's edgy like, to the T for a lot of it, but there's still quite a few steps shy of it being a hentai. All right, there's still a lot. I mean, High School DxD is closer to that than this is. All right.
You have a point with that. That's the feel I got out of it. That was the effort in the storyline that I got out of it, you know?
Okay. I can see that. I'm not 100% on board with it, but I can see where you would be going with it. You know, it's like, it feels like they kind of like want to skirt towards that line a little bit. But they didn't really want to reach that line, and so they pulled back from it whenever they started heading that direction. Like I could get that. It's not like they're full on bordering on it. They're not teetering on it. It's like, we're going to flirt with the line going towards that direction, but we're not going to flirt with the line like how a lot of other shows actually do. Triage X did. They like the flirt. Like, I feel like that was more etchy than this actually was.
I can see that. I'm going to get a little sidetracked, but there's a point to it. On Netflix, have you seen Freezing?
I told you about it. Wasn't on Netflix for the longest time, but what they actually do, a lot of what's actually censored in there, and a lot of what they actually do have censored, actually is not, I wonder more so why they censor it than anything else.
Well, season one, it's a 2 season or 3 season? Because I feel like I saw season one and
there's
2.
There's multiple seasons.
Okay, so I feel like there's season 1, 2, and 3 on Netflix. I could be mistaken. The very first season is uncensored. The second or third season, if there's 3 seasons, the second season is also uncensored, whereas the third and the last one I saw is censored, very similar to this. And that's why I was like leaning towards the, it could have been leaning towards hentai. Cause it's,
I've seen it. I've seen the true versions of it, censored and uncensored. Oh. I'll have to watch it and I'll get back to you on that on a later date for freezing.
Oh, I was going to say, I didn't know there was an, but
for this, like even if you were to watch that and compare it to this, I feel like in terms of similarity, they're not even there.
Okay. I mean, maybe some of the stuff I've seen in the past just didn't have a strong storyline because that's not why I was there and I didn't know where to look. You know what I mean?
But right. Well, this,
like I said, I feel like, just like you said, this is a wet dream.
Right.
You know, it's got that appeal to it. It's got that depth as well, unfortunately.
It has the potential for the depth and it has the potential for it to really grow on its own. I just feel like they relied more so on the ecchi harem aspect of it.
Oh, absolutely.
Way too much. They could have focused more on the story. Like you can, I'm not saying you can't have ecchi with great story. What I'm saying is there is a line. And sometimes if you're sole focus or if you're relying too heavily on it, it's going to just ruin it.
Yeah, you lose the plot. I agree. 100% with you. I agree. And they kind of, they didn't have a strong story. No, that's not true. They had a very strong plot, but not a very strong story.
Yeah.
I might have those mixed up because I confuse the two often, but.
No, like the plot was there. Like they could have done a whole lot more. They could have told a better story. And
well, what I thought.
They didn't tell a great story. They told a mediocre story that hinted at something better than what was actually there.
Well, I mean, it was very cookie cutterish. Like I called every major change a good 3 to 5 sentences in advance. Like I said, my girl and I were watching it, and when he was presented in the first episode with two decisions, my immediate thing was watch. He's going to choose mythical option number 3 and it's going to work. And
episode 1. I mean, you're given a choice in between two different things for a main protagonist right at the very beginning. Why would he not create his own third option? That's a mainstay for any show out there. Like if anyone's seen any show, it's like, I'm choosing option 3. What? There's a third option. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do the unthinkable. Everyone always does the unthinkable. I want to choose option 4. What's option 4? Kill you both. Go about my day.
Right. So when it did happen and everything like that, I was really hoping, genuinely hoping it wouldn't pull the third option BS. I was really hoping it was going to be like, I choose, like you said, option 4, kill you both. But I figured overpower you both and still have my way, which eventually something similar happens, but it's out of his control.
And to help with the phrasing, overpower them both and have it his way, it does not mean what he's trying to make it mean, all right? It means
erasing.
Phrasing. It mean, you know, I understand. It's like, you know, just take them both down, choose option where he just goes off into the sunset without them, leaving them behind, completely intact, completely untouched, completely, you know, just like, you know, everything separate. Mm-hmm. No, but everything in here, and here's another reason why I say everything was like overly sexualized or anything like that, is because they're locked in a room. And
yep.
They're locked in a room. They have to get out. Lilith has to pee, and they sexualize her having to pee.
Oh, so much.
And so you much. Also have who else was in there? Levy. Levy was in there. Yeah. And then you had there was a third. It was a blonde.
It was the reporter.
Yes. Selena.
Yes.
Selena. And then they all had to pee towards the end. And instead of them just like being uncomfortable and shivering or whatever, no, they're on top of each other, rubbing each other, moaning in a very sexual way because they have to pee. Because I know when I'm holding my pee, I moan and I make sexual sounds and all this other stuff. I don't know about you, sir. But that's
and you'll find this said more on his personal YouTube channel, OnlyFans, as
right?
well.
Right? Right? It's like, it was things like that, that just like really detracted. Okay, there's this thing that's going on. Instead of it being, okay, we need to try and figure it out and trying to create a suspenseful way to make it so that way they have to get out, they went with B. Understandable. Okay, I get it. But you didn't have to make them crawl on top of each other, rub on each other and everything like that because they have to pee. That was a little too far.
I mean, you're not wrong. It was a little more than a little, you know, it definitely had options they didn't go with. And just stuff like that all throughout the show. It was gratuitous, but after the first two times, I would say something similar to that happened. It just, in my opinion, at least, it just became very overplayed. Very, every scenario came out like this. And our main character is super greedy in the sense that he doesn't let anybody not leave, because that's not the right way to put it, but he doesn't let anybody get away from him. He's like, I want it all. I'm going to, my power that I'm going to choose, which, let's be honest here. If you had the opportunity to choose anything to study, and that be your grimoire, that be your way to go about things, why does no one choose luck? Why does no one choose like a subset of one of the major ones that is secretly overpowered?
Well, one of the things is, and what they're stating, what they keep referring to is, you're choosing what's furthest from you. So for Levi, for example, she expected nothing from anyone. She never expected anything from anyone. And she had no expectations at all. So her grimoire means she has these expectations. Now, she expects everything and everyone. So that's hers. It's the exact opposite. Doesn't want any friends, or she never had any friends or anything like that. So her grimoire is that. Then you have Lilith. For her, it's the furthest from who she is, right? So for hers, it's lust. She's not lustful. She's actually very conservative.
So does he choose control because he's out of control?
Yes.
So let's say you and I were in this world, right? Let's just role play for a little bit. If you were to choose your grimoire, what would you think that you would choose? Because, I mean, if it was me, I'd be like, wealth. Because I'm like,
well, wealth isn't gonna help you, sir. Like, it's hang on, wait, hang on, sir. Wait one second. I understand you want to fight us. Let me pull out this one, a cashier that just magically appears when I'm in trouble. Have a nice day. No. I'll catch you later.
No. Remember, we're gonna hear him. I'm gonna make it rain.
Make it rain.
All of a sudden.
Pull out the money guns and shooting it everywhere.
Yeah, but you know, in pure anime fashion, they'd be supersonic dollar bullets. You know, they'd have the nickel from the nickels. They'd have some copper from the pennies and some zinc for the middle. So well, that
hang on, when it hang fires on, hang on. Off, and then if you're in Japan, it's not going to have all that. It's going to be something else. It's not going to be nickels. It's all going to be yen, and so you know.
But I'm just saying it'll take the solid metals,
okay.
Put an outer casing under the paper will be the ignition source. The inside,
so what you're saying, liquid, hang on. You know. Again, though, I mean, like if that were the case, everyone there would have that because they all, I'm pretty sure all of them are impoverished. All right. They're I'm pretty sure they're all poor. They're not living in the key best of circumstances. They're living there on the school's dime because they have magical powers.
And they're talented,
but they got no money.
But looking at it, you don't need money when you're just like, I want this magic in here.
So what would yours be then? Because you can't choose money, obviously, at that point.
It'd be wealth. I'd be like, give me a Lambo. Boom. No,
you don't need it because you have the magic. So you have to choose something else, sir. Come on. You can't take the cop out. You can't take the, you're going to put this to the test. You can't choose money. Can't choose wealth.
So I would probably.
Would you choose justice because you're full of injustice?
No.
Would you choose the path of violence when you're not a violent person?
That would probably be the one.
So you would do Akio.
Here's the thing. I would love to be like have greed because I'm selfless, but I'm not.
You would be selfless because you're greedy.
Well, that's just to do. I am very greedy, but at the same time, with my mentality on the matter, if I have excess and I don't need it, and I see someone who does, it typically flows from me to them, and I never get it back. So that wouldn't work for me. But I also don't expect anything from everybody else, that kind of thing. So I couldn't use that one. I'm not out of control. I feel like I'm very in control of everything that I have the ability to control.
Right. So for him, a lot of what's happening is out of his control, though. So what happened in the world? What happened with the Black Sun at the very first episode? That was out of his control. His love interest disappearing pretty much episode one, out of his control. The fact that people are going after him, out of his control. The grimoire that he was given, out of his control. The fact that he has to create ties and go after all these other women, the Trinity Seven, so to speak, out of his control. The fact that everything's happening to him, around him, out of his control. The fact that he was forced to release some of his power unwillingly, out of his control. So why would he not choose something that's the furthest from it? He's going to choose the furthest thing from him, which is control, because he's tired of being out of control. He wants to be able to control the magic or control the situation that's happening around him. And that's why he ultimately chose it. And I understand that. Like, if you think about it, it's going to be like that. And then it just further, honestly, continues on that path through the whole series, even all the way up to the very end, because at the very end, you're being told about this basically a cycle that he has no control over that will stay that way no matter what. And it will be like that regardless. And so he says that he will take control of that destruction himself, which kind of doesn't it set it up? It's like, if the world's going to be destroyed because you're going to destroy the world and you choose to take control of that destruction, aren't you then at that point fulfilling that prophecy on your own?
I can see where you're coming from with that. Mm. Didn't he have more than one grimoire with him?
Yeah, he like halfway through, he ended up getting two grimoires, a second one anyways. And so he's technically got two grimoires and they're both, they comment lightly on his grimoire talking. Like, it's unusual that his grimoires are talking, and no other grimoires that we hear about talk. So I find it weird that they comment on it and then leave it. They just gloss right over it. Your grimoire's talking. Yes, it is. All right, cool. And move on with their lives.
Yeah. They're like, that's abnormal. Next.
Yeah. That's not worth our time. I'm sorry. What was that? You wanted to fondle me? That's more important. That grimoire over there just speaking to us randomly, just voicing opinions and thoughts and everything like that. Nah, that's not important. I've never heard one talk before, but that's not important. That doesn't interest me at all.
I wonder if there was a research Thelma for research. There must be, right?
Therma, you mean?
I'm close.
I thought you were talking about a person, Thelma. I'm like, what? Oh.
So yes, the Therma.
The Therma. Right? All right. You know, I'm kind of running out of
steam
on this, man. I mean, it's not one of my favorite shows.
No, I get that. I got a question with it then. What was his three? Because he had, I realized that this is probably the last part we talk about, but when he turned into a demon lord out of his control, he had immense control. And he was able to basically disallow magic in his presence, which was kind of cool.
Mostly. He was able to dispel magic.
But my question was, if he had a demon lord candidate piece in his soul, weren't there like three books he was supposed to like research to the max to qualify?
So remember how I watched the OVAs and you did not?
No, I don't remember doing something I didn't do.
Well, we'll leave it at that because they actually, that question, they actually answer that in the second one.
Oh,
they dwell, and it's not grimoires. It's research three thermas. He has to have at least three different thermas. And so he gets two of them basically in the series.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. All right. So, cool. Which sure. is
maybe
also,
we might do the OVAs.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll have to revisit the OVAs. And this is also why, and I, like I said in the pre-show, I believe, why I feel like it really gained its legs, really got its footing in the second movie or the OVA.
So if the pacing was similar to the second OVA, would you watch the second season?
Yes.
I'm right there with you. I haven't seen the second one, obviously. But I agree. If there was a second one, I would want to be a part of it.
Yeah. So, on a scale of up to 10, sir, how would you rate this?
For what I watched, doing no other information than what I watched, I'm going to give it a 6. I was going to give it a 5, but my girl liked it, and I did too. But it's not something I'd be, like, shouting from the rooftops, you know?
I gotcha.
So, 6.
I'm going middle of the road. I'm going 5, mainly because of the facial animations. Music really wasn't popping for me. There was like some problems or issues. A lot of the sexualization and a lot of other problems that I already voiced my concerns are why I just really kind of like get detracted from it. But I'm going with the 5. I'm also keeping it at a 5 because of the deeper plot that can be there. The potential that is there. The fact that they could actually go deeper into the story than what they actually have in the series. So
fair.
That's my reasoning.
That's all you need.
All right. And next week is your choice.
Actually, yeah, I'm going to choose a request made by old Jeb, actually.
From Discord.
From Discord. It is By the Grace of Gods. All right. So he said that we should review it and that it might be a good one as far as Slice of Life and Isekai. So I think, yeah, that's what my choice is going to be.
Okay. I gotcha. All right. That sounds good. Well, that's all the time that we have for today. Hope you enjoyed this week's choice. And if you see a next week's choice, please let us know what you thought about it. If you feel like we got something right, got something wrong, just plain old, just messed up entirely, feel free to let us know. FeaturedAnimePodcast@gmail.com. At Those Anime Guys on Twitter, Featured Anime Podcast on Facebook. If you want to support us and help us grow, patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast, $1 a month will get you all that bonus content and more. And you want to buy yourself some swag, shop.featuredanimepodcast.com. And until next time, I'm Jack.
And I'm Rick. And we'll see you next time.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.